The Lord be with you. Our sin for this week is gluttony. And gluttony is a sin that I know well. My wife hides all the chocolate in our house. This is not a joke. This is a serious thing that we have come to maintain our marriage. Because otherwise, she'll buy chocolate for a week, and in a day, I will eat it all. And what I have found is, when I'm writing my sermons, my level of chocolate consumption skyrockets. I get anxious about how it's going, and so like to calm my anxiousness, I start eating more chocolate, and then a couple minutes later, I have a sugar crash, and I feel exhausted, so I eat more chocolate for more energy, and then I feel really gross, and I just feel ashamed of myself for having eaten so much chocolate, and so to make myself feel better, I eat more chocolate. And I realize it's not just with chocolate that I engage in this kind of consumption. I can do this binging Netflix. I can do this zoning out playing computer games. I can do this doom scrolling. I don't know if you're familiar with that term, doom scroll. It's when you go on social media like Facebook or Instagram or something, and you just keep scrolling down because there's always another thing to see. And after a while, you just kind of start realizing, wait a minute, I've spent like an hour doing this. That's an hour I could have spent actually having a conversation with someone. And I've come to realize, at first, you know, I thought I loved chocolate, and that's why I ate so much of it. But I realize I don't love chocolate. Instead, what happens is I feel anxious, and so I love to eat chocolate in my anxiety. And when I'm eating the chocolate in my anxiety, the honest truth is I don't actually pay attention to the chocolate. You know, I'm not really savoring the taste, the complex textures or notes or any of that. No, I'm scarfing it down because what I'm searching for is comfort in my anxiety. And I don't even notice the chocolate. And I realize, right, I knew I didn't like social media to start with. But what I've realized is that when I'm feeling adrift, especially like I don't know where my sermon's going, and I start doom scrolling in social media, I don't actually pay attention. I don't read closely each person's post and think about what they've written. I just register the post or the picture for a second and I move on to the next, because what I'm actually searching for is a feeling of connection and purpose. And I realize when I'm feeling ashamed, I love to consume chocolate and I love to consume social media, because in that moment, what I'm actually searching for is a feeling of acceptance. And the chocolate doesn't judge me. The social media doesn't judge me. It's just there. It'll give me what I want in that moment. You see, gluttony is not loving what we consume. Gluttony is searching for love in what we consume. In the letter to the Philippians, Paul says that there are enemies of the cross of Christ. And he describes them with tears in his eyes. He says their end is destruction. Their belly is their God. Their glory is in their shame, for their minds are set on the things of this earth. And when Paul says their belly is their God, he's cluing us in that what's going on with gluttony is idolatry. Idolatry is replacing God with something else, making something that is not God into our God. And Martin Luther, in his large catechism under the Ten Commandments, the first one about not having another God other than God, Luther says, well, what is a God? And Luther says, a God is that to which we look for good and in which we seek refuge in our distress. Our God is where we go for comfort. And when gluttony becomes our God, we have a problem, because we are what we eat. Nutritionists love to tell us this, and they tell us this to say, hey, look, it's fine to have a sugary snack here and there. That's, you know, have an ice cream cone as a treat. But they warn us that if you eat only junk, your body will become junk. And the same is true with our spiritual consumption. If we try to feed our souls by only eating empty carbs, we find our souls become empty. If we try to fill our hearts with relationships that are only as deep as our phone screen, we find that our heart is filled with shallow relationships. And if we try to find comfort and make meaning of this life by binging on garbage TV or buying disposable products, we soon find that our life, the way we look at it, it feels like garbage. It feels like something that is just meant to be disposed. And that's true with how we look at other people's life, but it is true of how we look at our own. All idols demand sacrifice. And the truth is, what we consume ends up consuming us. And so when we become consumed by consumption, we are consumed by consumption. Ourselves are consumed with mindless and empty consumption, entering into that shame-filled haze that can eat away our days. But consumption will also consume the world around us, using up our world's natural resources and turning them into garbage which fills our seas, which pollutes our air and our water. It consumes God's children as resources are taken from those who have too little to feed those who have too much. It consumes our nations as country goes to war with country to take resources from them that truly they do not need. But most of all, what the God of gluttony attempts to consume within us is our relationship to God. Because the God of gluttony knows that there is only one thing that can set us free from being consumed by consumption, and that is Christ. And so that is what the God of consumption goes after. That's what we see in our gospel lesson today. Jesus is out preaching, teaching, he's healing. And some Pharisees come to him and they warn him that King Herod is looking to kill him. Now, why in the world would King Herod want to kill Jesus? Jesus says he's there, he's curing people, he's casting out demons, he's doing good. But Herod is a king who lives off of gluttony, off of the endless consumption of his people and their resources, and he realizes Jesus is a threat to that status quo, a threat to the comfort that he tries to find by endlessly consuming, and so Herod wants to consume Jesus. But it's not just Herod. Jesus says of Jerusalem, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it." Jerusalem, this place that is supposed to be the center of God's kingdom where the temple resides. This city has generation after generation rejected God's messengers because the truth is, in this city of power and prestige, they have set up idols for themselves. Gluttony, greed, and power. And when God's messengers come and tell them there is another way, there is a true God to worship, the people of Jerusalem, they feel ashamed, and in their shame, they lash out and they consume those who are sent to it. When we worship what we consume what we are meant to worship. I'll say that again. When we worship what we are meant to consume, we consume what we are meant to worship. Jesus knows this. And so Jesus allows himself to be consumed, that we might be consumed by God's love. When he gets news that Herod is looking to kill him, Jesus' response is to call Herod a fox. You tell that fox. And in response to Herod being a fox, you know what Jesus calls himself? He calls himself a chicken. What? There is no more iconic food for a fox to eat than a chicken. Jesus is making himself into the food that the Herod chicken or the Herod fox would eat. Why would he do this? Jesus calls himself not any chicken. He calls himself a mother hen. He is a mother hen who desires to gather the children of Jerusalem under his wings as a mother hen desires to gather her brood of chicks under her wings. The mother hen desires to gather her chicks under her wings to keep them safe, to keep them warm, to keep them hidden from the fox who prowls looking to eat them. That is what Jesus wants to do. But the children of Jerusalem are not willing. They run and scatter. And so what is a mother hen to do when she cannot gather her chicks to keep them safe from the fox who prowls? The mother hen gives herself to the fox to be eaten instead, that the fox might be satisfied with her and let the chicks go free. It is an act of love that Jesus does by allowing himself to be consumed. On Palm Sunday, the city of Jerusalem, it cheers for Jesus. It opens its mouth wide to welcome Jesus into the city, and then on Good Friday, it snaps its jaws shut and swallows Jesus whole on the cross. But the city of Jerusalem thought it was swallowing a chicken dinner, and it finds out that in swallowing Christ, it is swallowing God's love. We are what we eat. What we consume consumes us. The city of Jerusalem has consumed Christ. It has consumed God's act of love on the cross, and it discovers that it is becoming consumed by that love from within. On the day of Easter, a few more than a dozen people are consumed by that love when they encounter the risen Christ. But 50 days later, the scripture tells us that thousands upon thousands of people in Jerusalem become consumed by the love of God, which they as a city had consumed. Paul says to the Philippians that our body of shame will be conformed to Christ's body of glory. On the cross, the people of Jerusalem nailed Jesus' body and left it there as a body of shame, but on Easter Sunday, it is raised as a body of glory. And so the cross, which starts out as a sign of our shame, becomes transformed into a sign of God's glory, of the glory of God's ability to overcome even sin and death with unconditional love. Paul writes to the Philippians that our citizenship is in heaven. The people who felt adrift in Jerusalem, aimless and excluded from their society, on the day of resurrection, they see in this Christ who they had consumed a new way of being and belonging, not to any kingdom of this world, but to the kingdom of heaven here on this earth. And Paul writes to the Philippians, that from our citizenship in heaven, we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The people of Jerusalem discover in this Jesus whom they swallowed, a Savior who has come not to consume them as their king does, but a Savior who comes to gather them under his wings like a mother hen does their chicks, to keep them safe and warm and close to his heart. We are what we eat. What we consume consumes us. And so Jesus allows himself to be consumed, that people might become his body, that they might be consumed with his love. And Jesus does this not just for Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. Jesus does this for each and every one of us every single day. Jesus says to the city of Jerusalem, I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. On Palm Sunday, the city of Jerusalem says those words as they shout, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. They see Jesus and they feast on him. But if you pay attention, when we celebrate communion here each week, before we share the bread to be eaten and the wine to be drunk, we sing, "Holy, holy, holy. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." We say these words so that, as Jesus predicted, we might see Jesus, that we might see Jesus in the bread that we eat and in the wine that we drink, so that what was once just bread and wine becomes the body and blood of Christ, because we are what we eat, and what we consume consumes us. And so, in consuming Christ, we become his body. We become consumed with his love. And here's the thing. It happens not just on Sunday morning here in this room. It can happen every single day. Because we, as Lutherans, we believe that it is not magic that happens here, right? I don't have special fingers and I don't have secret words to transform this into something that it is not. What we believe is that Christ's body is physically present everywhere, in everything. That the chair that you sit on that holds you up is Christ's body. That the air that you breathe that lets you live is Christ's body. That the food that you eat, that your body needs to survive, is actually Christ's body. That the water that you drink, that you need to be alive, is Christ's body. It has always been God who sustains and nourishes us in every single moment of our life. And we are given the gift to be able to see that truth, that our bodies are made to need food, to need water, to need connections, which we must consume. But we consume those things not that they may be our God, but by consuming those things that we might recognize the God who has given them to us. The opposite of gluttony is not abstinence. The opposite of gluttony is not never eating or never drinking. The opposite of gluttony is temperance. Temperance is using things as they were meant to be used. Temperance is consuming what is meant to be consumed and worshiping what is meant to be worshiped. And so this week, here's what I'm going to try, and I invite you to try to do the same. So when I find myself in my anxiety consuming chocolate, and I realize, oh, I am consuming this chocolate, not because I am appreciating chocolate in this moment, but because I am consumed with anxiety, what I will do is I will stop. And I will give thanks that I have a God who comforts me, who desires to hold me under God's wing as a mother hen does her chicks. I will give thanks that I have a God who gives me what I need to consume to survive. And so in that moment, I will be able to see that piece of chocolate for what it is. Not the God who sustains or comforts, but a gift given to me by that God. And I will actually enjoy the taste of that chocolate, and it will be enough. And when I find myself consuming social media, doom scrolling, and I realize, I'm doing this because I'm feeling adrift, I will give thanks that my connection is in Christ, that my citizenship is in heaven. And so, being able to find my connection there, I will be able to look at the posts that I am reading and to love the people for who they are, not what I need them to be in that moment. And I can pray for them, for each post that I read, pray intentionally about what they have said and for the person who said it, and I will find when I do so, it will quickly be enough. And so I invite you, in whatever it is that you consume when you are feeling anxious or adrift or ashamed, may you say the words that Jesus has given us. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, so that in whatever you consume, you might see Christ there. You might see the one who gathers us under his wings like a mother hen to keep us safe. You might see the one who connects us and gives us citizenship in heaven. You might see the one who becomes our food, so that in consuming him, we might be consumed by God's love. Amen.